I'm not a big fan of the story of Mary and Martha. At least not a big fan of how this story often gets interpreted. Most of us already know if we are more like Mary, who sits at Jesus' feet, or more like Martha, who is distracted by her many tasks. I just thought maybe, you know, she had ADHD or... Anyway, author Laura Dykstra puts it this way. It seems to me that no matter how nice they try to be about it, most of the sermons and commentaries on this passage seem to say, "Yay, Mary, boo, Martha." And any niceties about how Jesus doesn't actually say that Martha's work is invaluable, just that Mary has chosen the better part, still seems to me like a put-down. So why is it that good people, especially women and service workers, are left questioning or feeling bad about the work they do, or maybe even the kind of person they are? I think that most of the people who work in a kitchen or polish silver, empty bedpans, or wash sheets already know that their work is not glamorous or revered or considered as important as those idea-sharing intellectuals. They don't need Jesus or the church or another Sunday sermon to tell them that. I question that they do their best and wholeheartedly isn't the better part. Yeah, I'm going to stir it up this morning. The Gospel of Luke is the only place where we hear this story of Mary and Martha. 5 verses and barely 100 words. But a great deal of energy has been spent on explaining why Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, was the better part, and why Martha's work was not. This passage has often been interpreted to contrast the contemplative life, yay, versus the active life, boo. To make this point, Martha has been described as bustling, scatterbrained, small-minded, passive-aggressive, a complainer, a workaholic who overfunctions, quarrelsome, and what's more, she just talks too much. More recent commentators who look at this passage a little differently still leave me wanting. For example, Elizabeth Schussler Florenza, a feminist theologian, says that this passage dates from the time of the early church, and it refers to a controversy over women's leadership roles. Martha, who is active in table service, is chastised, while Mary, who sits quietly, is openly praised. While other commentators say just the opposite. They point out that Mary of Bethany is described several times in Scripture at or near the feet of Jesus, and that sitting at the teacher's feet is the place of a male disciple, and she's doing something new. These scholars say that Jesus is praising Mary for acting in a way that was against the expectations for women at that time. Now, all these ways of interpreting Mary and Martha are faithful and based on good scholarship and are true to the text, and I've preached every which way you could preach this story. But for today, none of them really does it for me. To me, Martha's question speaks loudest and sticks with me the longest. Do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work all myself? It sticks with me because I know what it's like to have assigned myself too large a task to do all alone. And then, yes, I feel angry because no one else is helping. Yes, that may be my sin and my character flaw. And I'm sure no one else in this room has ever done the same thing. It sticks with me because Jesus and Luke don't answer my question. If the better part is sitting at the feet of Jesus, how will the work get done? What are Jesus' expectations after the teaching and the listening are over? What? Jesus then asks, is anyone hungry? Let's call out for pizza. No fuss needed here. We'll just have my disciples stay down the road at the Super 8. Because in the life of Jesus, and particularly in the Gospel of Luke, eating and who you eat with is important. One commentator has said that in Luke, Jesus is either going to eat, eating, or coming from a meal. But apart from this passage, precious little is said about how food actually gets to the table. The passage begins with, as they went on their way. From the preceding verses, we see Jesus is traveling with a group of his disciples. This is not a case of Martha just adding one more plate for Jesus. It's his entire entourage. And if Jesus is following the same pattern as he sets out for his disciples earlier in the chapter, they will be there for a period of days. He and his followers will make his host's home a base of operations for eating, drinking, sleeping, teaching, and healing. The itinerant kingdom movement, the Jesus Way, was dependent upon the hospitality of Martha and so many more women like her who opened their homes. So here's the kicker. Here's the point that I want to emphasize about the gospel today. Scripture does not tell us what tasks Martha is performing. However, in the passage, the Greek word diakonia is critical. The word means serving, often serving a meal. In the first part of Luke, diakonia is done by women and is associated with the work of hospitality. Diakonio. According to one scholar, after this passage, and this is what I found really interesting, diakonio is used differently throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke. Instead of being only associated with women and hospitality, it becomes a much broader term for service. And both men and women are called to diakonio. Diakonio is no longer just something that the church ladies are supposed to do. Service becomes an essential aspect of discipleship. Not an add-on or corrective to keep us humble, but integral to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In later texts, diakonio comes to mean serving at the liturgical table. It is the source of the English word deacon. Yeah, there you go. There's that association. Jesus never says how the necessary work is gonna get done. But the way the word changes and the usage of the word changes throughout Luke seems to suggest that maybe Jesus' idea of discipleship changed and grew. The story of Mary and Martha and the importance of diaconia means that for Christians, there's no men's work or women's work anymore. There's no dirty work. There's no lowly work or servant's work. Only the work that we all do to prepare, serve, and eat, to give and receive hospitality at the altar, in the church fellowship hall, in our food pantry, at all tables at home and in restaurants. We serve together. To serve alone tears us apart. To serve alone tears us apart. To serve together requires us to leave behind our attachment to status and power, and the notion of what is proper or what is improper. Whatever our race, gender, culture, class, education, or station, we serve together. We are all together in this. It's going to take each and every one of us to serve, to provide hospitality, to love one another, while always widening our circle here at St. Timothy's and always welcoming the stranger. Amen.